Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Friends, welcome to Scots this morning, a day when we will indeed be singing for joy to the Lord together, and more than that, we'll be encouraged as our choir sings the cantata for us a little later. We'll be hearing from God's word together too, and bringing our concerns to our Lord God in prayer as we gather to encourage one another on this beautiful morning as followers of the Lord Jesus. We're going to sing together now our first hymn, O Love, How Deep. Please be seated. Now again, thanks for being with us this morning, especially if you're a visitor or a guest with us today. Welcome to our visiting musicians and our tech team from FiveStream. Welcome to everyone who's joining us for the service online. Quickly, by way of announcements, the Festival of Buskers continues on Thursday lunchtimes. If you're in the city, drop by for a coffee and some great music as we love the city to life together. It is the first Sunday of Advent, and the shops are telling us as well it's Christmas season, and we've got a swag of great events coming up over the next few weeks. You will see them detailed inside the back cover of your order of service, and invitation cards are available for your use to invite along a friend or a neighbour to any of our Christmas events. They'll be available over the next week or two, and we would encourage you to use them liberally. Finally, if you are new to Scots, please introduce yourselves on the card in the seat, fill it in and leave it on the foyer desk, or scan the QR code with your phone and give us your contact details online. We would love to make you welcome and keep you in touch with things that are happening here at Scots. Let's stand and sing together again now the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And will you please join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, Creator, Maker of beauty and harmony and colours and flavours, you have indeed made a world of delights for us to enjoy, and yet at the same time a world broken and groaning in so many ways. We live in paradox each and every day, a world so beautiful, so broken. A world that declares your glory and yet groans for something more. A world that's passing away and yet longs for permanence. Father, we ask this morning as we celebrate music, as we enjoy heavenly harmonies, that we would be moved to long all the more for that day of perfect harmony with you, in that place of no more tears or crying or pain, promised to all of those who trust in the Lord Jesus, who took on all the pain for us, that his tears of blood in Gethsemane Garden foreshadowed the end of tears for all who trust in his name. As we pray now in the words he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here at Scots, we are privileged to enjoy a wonderful music ministry led by our director, Douglas Lawrence. As I mentioned earlier, this morning we'll be hearing a Christmas cantata, part one of Bach's Cantata 147, Heart and Mouth and Thought and Action. As you listen, I would encourage you to follow the guide printed in the back pages of the Order of Service. Thank you, choir. Thank you.
Stand up.
Let us now join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, we praise and give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the hope of all peoples. We give thanks that he is the wisdom and teaches and guide us, the Savior of every nation. We thank you for your presence with us in this place, loving God. We thank you for what we are hearing this morning, the beautiful music, the wonderful musicians, and all of us are gathering in this place to praise you, to worship you, and to bless you. Loving, precious God, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent today, we thank you for a season of anticipation and celebration, a time to reflect on every good thing you have already done for us in Jesus and the glorious things yet to be realized. We praise you and we give thanks to you. We bring our prayers before you. We pray for healing, strength, and comfort for those who grieve, especially our friends in our church community. We remember Margaret Scott, her daughter Fiona Head, and the family on the passing of Dennis Head, the beloved father of Fiona and the husband of Margaret. We pray also for David Preston's family on his death this week. We remember his wife Sheila and their family. May they know that God's caring, comforting presence will surround them during this difficult time. God of love and mercy, we pray for those struggling today with illness, mental health issues, financial crisis, big decisions to make, and major changes in life. May they know that you love them and care for them all. Loving God, your providence reveals your infinite wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. We continue to pray for a speedy and full recovery for Gwenda Lunn, Kevin Hardy, Matthew Dent, and many others in our church community and their families who suffer from ill health. We remember our friends in aged care facilities or those who are alone at home. We continue to pray for our senior friends, family, and carers. We pray for little children, for youths and parents, and those who are new to us in this place today. We acknowledge that God's care for them is even greater than ours. Help us show our love and concern for them as we pray. We pray for every major problem of your church, our country, and the world are facing right now, especially issues surrounding the pandemic. God Almighty, help every nation, our government, groups, individuals, and all of us to lean on and seek your guidance and wisdom. Help us bring our concerns and decisions to God in prayer and strive to discern the right path forward for us and those around us. Heal your people and the world you created, for you are our Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, and thank you for answered prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us now sing, "Now Thank We All Our God."
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at the wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Our reading from the New Testament is taken from John chapter 6, verses 16 to 24. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to the Capernaum in search of Jesus. May God add his blessings to our word. Amen.
Well, friends, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it, on this first Sunday of Advent, the time of year for tinsel, for office parties, for setting up the Christmas tree, for family get-togethers to begin in earnest, or not, as the case may be. Because behind the glitter and the glamour for so many, of course, it's actually a season to be reminded that everything is not what it should be. A time, perhaps, for a seasonal refresh of sadness, of revisiting maybe old family feuds that freshen up around the festive table every year. The adult kids who come home for Christmas with their kids and freshen up all those old adolescent dynamics, perhaps. Years-old resentments, family quarrels. I don't know if you watch that show called The 100 with Andy Lee on Channel 9, the Christmas special through the week. They asked their sample of 100 typical Australians how many hated Christmas. The answer came in, I think, from memory, at around 12%, one in every eight, because I guess it reminds them of loneliness or of tension or of the loss of a loved one. That life is hard and full of longing that you can't just paper over with Christmas gift wrap. Which is where we do well to lift our eyes and our hopes to a final destination that is so much better. Where broken relationships, where broken lives, where broken hearts, where our broken bodies as well, promise to be put back together. So, on this first Sunday of Advent, It's a good time to look ahead even further than December 25 and be reminded of the greater destination that we're heading for, and that we set our hearts on our ultimate goal, even if for now the going is tough. You'll notice where we've picked up here in John chapter 6. The going is tough for the disciples. Now, this year, more than most years, regardless of anything else, that is a feeling that lots of us know, isn't it? Heavy weather in all kinds of ways. This passage picks up the evening of the miraculous feeding we saw last week, which finished, you'll remember, with the crowd wanting to make Jesus king because they've misunderstood the nature of gospel politics, which is why Jesus withdraws from them and heads up the hills, leaving his disciples, no doubt, a little bit confused. Now, it's about 10 k's back across the lake, and I guess they're wondering what to do. Wait for him to come back, or head for home before the evening winds blow up? In the end, it looks like they've waited too long. You can pick it up in verse 16 in your order of service. When evening comes, his disciples go down to the shore, where they get into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it's dark, and Jesus hasn't come back. So as night falls, they're saying, "Guys, we can't hang around any longer. He'll have to get home on his own." And so they get in the boat and they head back for Capernaum. But that is where the problems really start. They are halfway across the lake, and it seems it's taking hours longer than it should because the conditions are appalling, as apparently they so often are on the Sea of Galilee at night, as a cold front blows down from the hills. So the wind's howling around them and waves are crashing into the boat, and they're rowing for their lives. No doubt frustrated, cold, wet, seeming like they're getting nowhere. The going is tough. Which is when an incredible thing happens. Let's pick up there in verse 19 and try for a moment to imagine it. Because when you're in the middle of the lake in a storm, the last thing you're expecting to see is someone walking towards you on the waves. But look at this, verse 19. When they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were frightened. They are terrified, as I reckon I would have been as well. Now, I don't know what sort of scary things you've encountered. Usually, I guess, it's startling when you see things out of context. On the Today Show the other morning, the video clip of the guy driving along in his car and a huge spider drops out of the visor on his lap. I mean, this is totally out of context. Like the movie Snakes on a Plane. And yet, you know, the guy on the Today Show, Aussie as he is, just pulls over and calmly gets rid of it. I'd find it terrifying. Well, amazing. You know, you're in the middle of a stormy lake, 5 k's from shore, and you see a hitchhiker walking on the waves. In Mark's gospel, we're told they think it's a ghost. John just says they're terrified. Until Jesus says to them the words in verse 20, "It's me. It is I. Don't be afraid." At which point we're told, maybe with a quick conference on the boat, we're told they're willing to take him on board. Don't know if I would have been so sure. Well, you notice though, that is not the end of the story. Because now is when things get really weird. They're halfway across the lake, rowing against the wind. But read verse 21. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately This is really weird. Immediately, the boat reaches the shore where they're heading. As if somehow, as soon as he steps on board, they've arrived and the battle against the elements is over. Somehow, as soon as he gets on the boat, they're safely home. Which, you see, I reckon is even weirder than walking on waves. But while they are both astonishing things to witness, if you've been here through our series on John's Gospel, you won't be surprised to find there is more to it than meets the eye. And as usual, our minds are drawn back to the Old Testament and some statements that were made in the Jewish scriptures about God himself. First, from the book of Job, chapter 9, where Job is making the point that God can do whatever he wants. He says, who can argue with God? He says, God speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Who walks the waves? God does, says Job. God alone who made the heavens, God alone treads the waves of the sea. And now here's Jesus doing exactly that, as if somehow it's a game of charades. And he's saying, guess who? But there's another passage too I want to direct you to, the psalm we heard in our first reading, a section of the long psalm, Psalm 107, a psalm about the way time and time again God saves his people in their distress. And so verse 23 again, when the men of Israel go out to the sea in their ships, and when there's a storm and huge waves, and when in verse 26 of the psalm their courage melts away. You can pick it up in verse 30. Here they are in their boats in the storm, and they cry out to the Lord in their fear. And the psalm says they were glad when it grew calm. And notice the next bit. And he guided them to their desired haven. Tossed in a storm, and the Lord, the God of Israel, brings them safely home. This is the God who saves his people. And again, now Jesus, as soon as they take him on board, they find themselves inexplicably, safely home. It's a fine line, isn't it? Reading too much into a Bible passage, allegorizing when there's not really an allegory there. Old hymns are notorious for it. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of life's wild and restless sea. And yet in this case, I think the hymn has got it exactly right. And Jesus wants us to see it that way, as a concrete picture of a deeper promise. Later on in John's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus says these words that really sum things up. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. All kinds of troubles. Isn't that how it is for you? Storm clouds on every horizon, broken friendships, mental illness, marriage failures, either your own or your kids. So that's the sort of world it is. Louise, my wife, has been making phone calls each week as the Thursday prayer group is praying through our membership list. And Lou is trying to make contact with you if you're on the prayer list for the week. And just this week, the stories she's heard, the struggles so many of our church family are facing day by day, you or your loved ones, the leukemia, the business problems, the bereavements, which you see is exactly what Jesus says the world is like. In this world, you'll have troubles. But don't lose heart. Because Jesus, in the midst of the wild and restless sea, says, "Don't be afraid. Take me on board. Trust me. I can get you home." This is one of the signs in John's Gospel, which means we're actually meant to look a little bit beyond the surface to what it's really saying. And that is, because of who he is, because he is indeed the Word become flesh, then in the midst of the troubles of this world, he is the one name who can be trusted, the one who can take you safely home. And over and above everything else, his resurrection is the guarantee of that, that nothing life can dish out is ultimately fatal. Even death itself. So when the storms come, keep trusting and don't be afraid. "I've told you these things," chapter 16, verse 33, "so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world." We're going to pray and then we're going to sing that famous hymn together about Jesus and life's wild and restless sea. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do know what it's like to live in this world of struggle and hardship and pain and distress. But we thank you for the Lord Jesus who came demonstrating all your power in this world and gives us the promise in his resurrection that there is nothing to fear, and that indeed he will take us safely home. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, let's sing that great hymn, "Jesus Calls Us." With us this morning, please join us for morning tea on level one in the Westpac building, or grab a quick cup of coffee from our barista at the back as you're leaving. And please do take a moment to introduce yourself by filling in the card in your row or scanning the QR code, dropping us your details online. Thanks to the choir, thanks to our orchestra, thanks to Douglas, and it's been a wonderful morning of music. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.